Have you ever driven along the Pacific Highway or the Hume or the Bruce Highway and wondered, what's that strange rope net suspended across the road? Or why did they build a bridge over the highway with trees and shrubs on it? Or what's that tall, floppy-looking fence along the roadside for? Well, this book is for you. It explains the how, what, when and why of these innovative pieces of engineering. It's also the book that tells you the where, so you can plan your own journey to drive under and over them. What better excuse for a road trip? So what are these curious structures? Road ecologists, the people who study the interaction between roads and the natural environment, commonly refer to them as wildlife crossing structures or wildlife crossings. Wildlife crossings have been around in various forms for decades. In fact, they've existed since the early stages of road building in the form of drainage pipes, box culverts, and bridges over waterways. In a nutshell, they're structures that wildlife can use to get from one side of the road to the other without taking on the traffic. In more recent times, as our understanding of the impact of roads on wildlife has grown, road authorities started installing purpose-built structures, such as culverts with timber railings through them for some of our ground-dwelling wildlife and rope canopy bridges over the road for some of our tree-dwelling wildlife. As you'll discover in this book, the wildlife crossings family is a pretty diverse group. My interest in wildlife crossings started in 1999 when I drove along the recently upgraded Pacific Highway at Brunswick Heads in northern New South Wales. The new section of highway was lined by strange-looking floppy-top fencing, which occasionally rose above what appeared to be large box culverts. An enthusiastic local told me the box culverts were put there for koalas, so they could cross under the highway, and the funny-looking floppy-top fence, which he reckoned they couldn't climb, was to stop them wandering out onto the road and getting hit by cars. "Bloody great idea," he said. "They can cross the road without worrying about being run over by us idiots." I agreed with him. It was a bloody great idea, allowing animals to cross the road without having to set foot on the road surface. Permeable corridors without the roadkill. It was an elegant, obvious and simple solution. But did they work? Well, I've spent the best part of the last 20 years radio tracking, translocating, camera monitoring, sand tracking and analysing data to answer this question. And I'm just one of a growing band of dedicated road ecologists trying to better understand how wildlife crossings affect the viability of local populations, or how the width of the road or traffic volume or noise or light from road affects wildlife and plant communities. There's even growing interest in the potential impact on microbat movement and insect abundance. Importantly, the basis for much of this work is the fundamental ecological concept of connectivity. Connectivity is critical to functioning ecosystems and to functioning wildlife populations. That's what wildlife crossings strive to enable: connectivity across roads and highways for a wide range of wildlife. Indeed, for many animals, wildlife crossings provide a critical link to food resources or mates on the other side of the road, or even an escape route from a raging bushfire. In some places, like along the Great Alpine Road in Victoria's High Country, wildlife crossings are vital for the tiny population of the exceptionally tiny mountain pygmy possum to cling on to existence. And it's this crucial role that wildlife crossings perform that this book aims to celebrate. In doing so, I've structured the book around the theme of a journey through the evolution of wildlife crossings in Eastern Australia, and a journey along the roads and highways that feature these spectacular structures. But every great journey requires a bit of background reading, so the guide begins with an explanation of how and why roads are so bad for our wildlife. From road effect zone to metapopulation theory, you'll be a fully fledged road ecologist by the time you finish this chapter.